Thank you very much, Mr. Biscuit. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Happy High Day. Happy Feast of Trumpets. Wow. Just seemed like yesterday we were observing the Feast of Trumpets. I certainly want to thank Mr. Henson once again for inviting my wife and I to attend here and the opportunity to speak to you. It is an awesome blessing to come before the throne and before the presence of God's people. It is a tremendous blessing. We talked about the clouds of gloom and doom that as we traveled here. Now the sun is shining. It shows, even in God's creation, the contrast of what this day does picture. Brethren, the Feast of Trumpets after sunset tonight will be history. This day will never happen again until next year. So I hope that each and every one of us will reap the full intent and benefit from this day, the Feast of Trumpets. What we have studied, prayed about, and looked forward to as we prepared for this day, and what we glean from this day as well. How many of us remember, those of you that were at the Feast of Trumpets last year in this area, remember the message that I gave? Not too many, that's okay. I don't remember either. I'm only jesting, I do remember. It stuck with me throughout the entire year. I'll refresh your memory. Prepare to meet your God. How many of us have prepared to meet our God? How many of us took the time throughout the entire year to prepare for this day? What if Christ returned? Did we prepare? Have I prepared for another Feast of Trumpets? Brethren, Jesus Christ will return. This is an absolute. It will happen. At the sound of the seventh trump, and that trumpet blows, it will usher in many aspects of this day. What it pictures, what it means, what will take place, and what will hold for the future, for us and for all of mankind. This day we know pictures the hope of a true Christian, the resurrection. That's what we certainly look forward to personally. But even beyond that, when that seventh trumpet blows, we understand and recognize through many scriptures that Christ will begin to descend on earth. Because the earth will become His throne. Right now it's referred to as His footstool. But it will be His throne where He will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It will usher in the seven last plagues when that trumpet is blown. The completion of God, the living God's wrath upon mankind. It will usher in what we read as the third woe. Woe. Woe to the world that will face the wrath of God. You can read chapters 15 and 16 of Revelations, and I hope that we have. It describes the seven last plagues, which are the third woe or the seventh trump. I'd like for us to begin today with 1 Thessalonians 4. If you'll turn with me, and being the second speaker, I have the opportunity to carry on where Mr. Sumi left off, and I can use all the main scriptures. Mr. Henson and the one that gives a sermonette will just have to find other ones. 1 Thessalonians 4. And let's begin in verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the eternal, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. This is that hope for all of us. Whether we are in our grave or if we're alive at that time. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. This is the return of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Remember Passover, the one that died for my sins? that died for your sins. Here we are at the Feast of Trumpets, picturing His return. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. We will hear that trumpet. We will hear His voice. The voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. Now, I'm sure many of us have heard trumpets blown. But we have not heard the trump of God blow for the Feast of Trumpets. It says the trump of God will blow. Did you ever see a scared cat or a dog? Their hair stands up in fear, in anticipation. When I think about the trump of God blowing and the return of His Son, what hair that I have left, it does raise. Then we which are alive, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then which we are alive, remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Eternal. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Brethren, we're here to be comforted by the inspired Word of God. Not my opinions, not my speculations, but by the inspired Word of God. Comfort one another with these words. The day that Jesus Christ will return. And we understand when we use that model prayer in Matthew 6, pray thy kingdom come. To pray that prayer, we recognize the events that will have to take place prior to. And we know that trying times will yet come. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. I said I have the opportunity to use the main scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Not something that's mysterious, but a mystery. A hidden truth, basically, from the world around us. But we shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed. We shall be transformed. And brethren, God's not going to change anyone that He cannot rule. When Jesus Christ returns, He's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to rule. And all the holy angels and all the saints are going to be with Him to rule on this earth. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. I looked that up. It means deathlessness. What a phrase, deathlessness. And we're going to see that's exactly what it means. No more death. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. We will not only be changed in our character and in our think and thought process, but even our makeup from the physical to the spirit. And we can truly say then that we have become like Jesus Christ. We are in the image now, but we can truly say then we are like Jesus Christ. Brethren, we have been engaged in some serious subjects, have we not? Some serious schooling over the years. For some of us, decades. And not just from last year, from Feast of Trumpets to Feast of Trumpets, but throughout our entire spiritual lives, we have been preparing for something great. For something awesome. And that's what I'd like to talk about today. It was in the voice of the trio that sang here, saints and angels will come. That includes us, the saints. We will come, brethren, and we will rule with the Son of God upon this earth. Have we truly thought about that? That's why we're schooled every week. That's why we're schooled during the week when we study and pray and fast on our own. To become saints of the living God, ruling saints on this earth. We understand in just a few days that Satan will be bound. That's what it pictures, the Day of Atonement. And that man can become one with God. But will the world at that time, the world that is to come, as we refer to it in the church, the world tomorrow, the wonderful world tomorrow, will it be perfect without Satan? Still physical human beings. Physical human beings that will still need to be taught. And I found it interesting, as I gave a sermon in preparation for this in Morgantown. Do we truly hear? And that's what was the sermon that was about this morning. Do we truly hear what God says? And then do we apply it? Do we have the ears to really hear what God is telling us? And upon this day, as we picture the Feast of Trumpets, do we hear what God is saying? He's coming. And there's a change. And we will rule. Notice Revelation 11 and verse 15. Revelation 11 and verse 15. You, Mr. Hansen, are the one that's giving the sermonette this afternoon. I have the glass on my right. The goats are on the left. Of course, there's no goats up here to drink, I'm sure. Revelation 11 and verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Read that again. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Referring to the nations upon this earth, the ruling governments of the world today will come to an end. Or begin to come to an end. Because Christ is coming and He shall reign forever and ever. And we have the awesome blessing to be a part of that reigning. Reigning with Jesus Christ to rule in the world that is to come. No, everything that we read and understand in God's Word, the world tomorrow will not be perfect. It is a time of restoration, to restore all things anew again. Human beings will still be on the earth. And hopefully and thankfully, the hope that we have, we will be changed at that very time. Verse 18, "And the nations were angry, and your wrath is come." The wrath of God is coming as He returns, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. Those nations that are dead in Christ, they should be judged, and that you should give reward unto your servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear your name. Do we hear? Those that fear your name. Small and great should be, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Jesus Christ is coming, brethren, and that wrath of God is going to bring about those plagues upon a rebellious and an angry nation, an angry world around us. But all of the governments of man will fall through and by the divine power of the living God. This is where the resurrected saints begin to come on the scene. When we return with Jesus Christ from being in the air as we are changed, when Jesus Christ in all of His glory and all the holy angels will come with Him and His saints, it is a time for us to begin to be a part of the government and the family of God. I think it was properly stated in the sermonette that it is the government of God that will rule, or the kingdom of God that will rule the millennial period of time. It is not the kingdom set up completely yet. For God the Father will return with a new Jerusalem and a new earth, and then the kingdom of God will be in full fruition. Notice Matthew 25. If you'll come with me to Matthew 25. It's only been about 10 or 15 minutes, and Mr. Henson's already changing his notes, writing down different scriptures. He hasn't looked at me once yet. No, I'm just joking. Matthew 25. And let's pick it up in verse 31. And this is Jesus Christ Himself speaking. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. It is God's desire. It is His anticipation to sit upon the throne of the earth as He dethrones Satan, the god of this world. It is the glory of God to set up on this throne. And notice verse 32. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. That's where I got this about the water. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, you blessed of My Father. You see, none of us can be a part of this without the Father being involved as He draws us or calls us into this wonderful blessing. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We will be brought into the family of God. And that kingdom, that government will rule. And that is us. We will be a part of that. Prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You see, God's plan has been in motion from the beginning. And right now in 2013, we are a part of this awesome foundational blessing to understand what inheriting the kingdom is all about. A divine family will be ushered in. It's going to take a divine family, those who become immortal, to work with the mortals. All of us recognize that. I'll never forget our local elder many years ago. He told me, he said, your biggest challenge will be the people. It's not your cat or dog or your job. It's the people. It takes God, it takes the Spirit of God to work with humanity. And it's going to take the hundreds upon thousands of saints to work with Jesus Christ. That's His plan. Can God do it Himself? Absolutely. Nothing's impossible with God. But His desire is to bring the saints to that glory to help reign during the 1,000-year period. Will the joy, will the excitement, as we read here in Matthew, be internalized within us? Has it? Will it be internalized? Are we here to rejoice? Rejoice, for the Lord is King. Rejoice, brethren, because we are going to be a part of this prophecy, the fulfillment of this part of the plan of God. Do we grasp the magnitude? Will we grasp the magnitude of all of this? Will we understand the greatness of it? You know, Christ is coming. And I'm sure it's with great anticipation. And guess who we will be rubbing shoulders with? Not just Jesus Christ. But think about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You may have a favorite biblical person that you want to certainly meet. Joshua, Moses, Deborah, Ruth, Esther, Daniel, Jonah, Micah, Peter, Paul, and Mary. And whom else? There will be many. I don't know about you, but I long to see Mr. Herbert Armstrong again. And many others that have gone before us. But we think about the prophets and the patriarchs. Do we think about them? They will be raised from the dead. Just as we, if we're in the grave, will be raised to meet Christ in the air. You see, there's not a prior resurrection for them. Until then, we're all in this together. And as I was preparing this, I thought about that. All of these great people, men and women, and I just named a few. Will this overshadow our desire to see one another there? I don't think so. At that time, we're going to desire to see the familiar faces that we have met with and dined with and festivaled with every week. I anticipate seeing all of you as saints of the living God, reigning and ruling on this earth. That joy, brethren, will be so tremendous. We will be so excited to be a part of the family of God. Notice Revelation 5. Revelation 5. Let's begin in verse 1. Revelation 5 in verse 1. And I, John, saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. No one was worthy. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And this is the vision that John was beginning to receive. And he wanted to see the rest of the prophecies or the vision. And one of the elders said unto him, one of the 24 elders, one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof," or the scroll. Who is the Lion of Judah? Jesus the Christ. He opened the books, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. All these living creatures around the throne of God. And he came and took the book, referring to Christ, out of the right hand of God the Father that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden bowls or vials full of odors or incense, which are the prayers of the saints. God knows us. God hears us. He knows us by name. He counts the hairs on our head. And they sung a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. And you will make us, or have made us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. That's the saints of the living God. He will make us, develop within us, to become kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. We will be made unto God. Notice that statement. We will be made unto God, kings and priests, unto God. Wow. And we shall reign with Him. Brethren, this has never happened in the history of the nation of Israel. This is prophetic. Prophetic when Jesus Christ returns. It is truly a prophecy to be fulfilled. Notice Exodus 19. Turn with me back to the Old Testament. Exodus 19. And let's pick it up in verse 3. Exodus 19 and verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bore or carried you on eagle wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, do we hear, and keep my covenant, do we follow through, then shall you be a peculiar or a special treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Brethren, we have read where Israel separated themselves from God, the nation of Israel. This is prophetic to the future. We will be a special treasure unto all people, for all the earth is mine. You know, maybe only your neighbor knows that you are a part of something different. But it says all people will know. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Not just a community, a kingdom. It's just not the Morgantown and the Pittsburgh and Wheeling congregations when Christ returns. It is a multiple number of people, thousands, a kingdom, it says, a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. He refers us to, at that time, as a holy nation. What does that mean, holy? That means of God. Of God. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. They did not have ears to hear, or eyes to see, or the Spirit of God to understand. Only but a few. Only but a few. We have been given that awesome blessing to have God's Spirit to direct us. For all the earth is mine, God says. Isaiah 66 and verse 1, I'm not going to turn there, it talks about, and I briefly mentioned, that the earth is God's footstool. But it will become His throne. Psalms 99 verse 5 says, Worship at His footstool. And verse 6, We will be unto God a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Psalms 99 verses 5 and 6. Worship at His footstool. Bow before the eternal God and become like Him. And we will. This day portrays that time when we will be in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Are we ready to become the kings and priests in this world ruling government of God? Well, I ask you if you remember the sermon from last year. Are we ready to become kings and priests in this world that is to come? Are we ready to rule in the government of God. You know, maybe some of you have been politicians before. Hope none of you are now. Or maybe you're associated with those in the political field. That will come to an end. Those thoughts, those reasonings, those applications will begin to end. There is a new government that is coming. Notice Romans 11. Romans 11. Romans 11, and let's begin in verse 25. Romans 11 and verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, again, not something mysterious, lest you should be wise in your own conceits or thoughts, that the hardness or the blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. This is a prophecy that is yet to take place. This is what we will be a part of. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This will take place, brethren, during the world that is to come, when God brings back those who have been in captivity, the Israelite people. You talk about an exodus, it will probably be greater than the exodus from Egypt, when God will bring them from all over. It says, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, Jesus Christ, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. There will be so many of our ancestors that will need to be directed in God's way. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Jesus Christ, the one that forgives our sins. You see, we cannot reign during that time alone. Only Jesus Christ can forgive those sins. But we will be there to help teach, to instruct, and to govern. I found it interesting going through the book of Revelation, how many times that God talked about no one that loveth or maketh a lie will be a part of the new Jerusalem and the new heavens and the Father Himself coming up on this earth. You know, for most of us, we're not murderers, but those who maketh a lie will not be a part. And this is what we will teach. And then God will take away their sins. As through the 1,000-year period of time, mankind will learn the fullness of God's way of life, the truth of God. And we will speak with a pure language and a pure heart, because God's Spirit will be there to grant us that awesome blessing. Turning away the ungodliness will take place on this earth during that millennial period of time. And he says in verse 27 here, repeating it again, for this is my covenant to take away their sins. We're a part of something great. Many of us have had children. And have children. And some will still have children. There's nothing greater or satisfying to see a child to do what is right. To follow the rules and regulations of home. And more so, the blessings of God's truth. Yes, there may be times that we will be corrected, as will take place during the millennium. But as parents, there is a tremendous joy to see a child grow in obedience to the one in charge. Brethren, we're going to be so overwhelmed and so joyed to see the peoples of Jacob and the Gentiles overcoming in the 1,000-year period of time. That is something that we should look forward to. What will it take to be there? It takes, just like we are receiving today, schooling and God's blessing. Let me ask you a question. What will it be like that first day on the job? Have you thought about that? What will it be like on the first day on the job when Jesus Christ returns and the millennium begins? Turning literally hundreds upon thousands of people, of human lives around to become holy unto God. Well, let's think about this by turning to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. And let's pick it up in verse 4. Revelation 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast or the Antichrist, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, for in their hands, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Notice verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Notice the credentials of being a saint ruling with Jesus Christ. Blessed and holy. Those are credentials to reign and to rule with Jesus Christ. Blessed and holy is he that has who has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. Being changed from corruptible into incorruption, deathlessness. Brethren, there's a credential there. We will not have to have any doubt or worry about the second death. Yes, we will all die as physical human beings. Blessed and holy. And the second death has no power over the saints of God if we are a part of the first resurrection. You talk about a peace of mind. This is a guarantee. This is an absolute. Do we hear? Do we grasp it? Do I live it? Do we live it? Wow. Blessed and holy. In other words, at this point in time, there will be no forming of unions. First day on the job, you won't have that mindset. There may be some that live over that still have that mindset. Well, we have to have a union if you're going to rule us. No forming of unions. No fear of being fired as a saint. It's done. It's a done deal. The power of the second death is not on you. If we are a part of the first. Do we see the magnitude and the awesomeness of this? We read about, consider the high calling. Do we really consider the highness of that calling? We do not, do we? How often? We don't have to worry about someone nudging us out of position, trying to climb the ladder, so to speak. No, this is the real deal, brethren. We are a part of something so great and so awesome. We're on the job. Maybe you've not considered this. You can go back to Proverbs and read about the ant. There's so much that you can cover on that. Consider the ant. We're on the job 24/7. 24/7 for 1,000 years. Any second thoughts? I hope not. That's what it says, for 1,000 years. Notice Matthew 6. Matthew 6. And verse 10. Matthew 6 and verse 10. This is a part of that model prayer. And we are to pray, Thy kingdom come. And we pray, Your will, God, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I said it's 24/7 for 1,000 years. Absolutely. Let's just go back to Revelation 4. When we pray, Thy kingdom come, Your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven, we are praying for the God way to take place on this earth, and that's what the millennium is all about, the restoration to God's way of life. Revelation 4, and let's pick it up in verse 6. Revelation 4 and verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four creatures, living creatures, full of eyes before and behind. Guess what? We will have a chance to meet them. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third creature had a face of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Notice verse 8. And the four living creatures had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. Pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no rest. It's 7 days a week. 24 hours for 1,000 years. Day and night. That's what they do in heaven. And we pray, what's done in heaven, let it be done on earth. We will be spirit beings, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I see some of us are yawning already. You better get your sleep now. The time's coming. Have we considered, as kings and priests on this earth, there's a total change. Complete change. You know, God tells us that as we change in this life, not just physically, but as we teach and instruct that we are to make changes in our character, in what we say, what we do, those are to be manifested so that not only God can see, but that so each and every one of us can see the changes being made. I always cringe when you go to family reunions or some type of a family setting and they say, you haven't changed at all. Then you have to start studying and fasting and praying. I think we get the gist. But there will be a total change when Jesus Christ returns. Even in Jesus Christ, He will come as Spirit, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He will change the throne on this earth to His glorious throne. And He will bring the remnant to Jerusalem. Yes, things will change. 2 Peter 3:8. 2 Peter 3:8. Peter says, "But beloved," that's us, "be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with Lord us 1,000 years. Whoa. How many times have we said, "If I just had more time in one day"? Well, here it is. 1,000 years in one day. That's the way God looks at it. And with the Lord, that's 1,000 years. That's one day. And as seniors, we can understand that, how fast time goes by. And that's the way it will be in the world tomorrow. In the world that is to come. Notice this verse here. He gives us the best of two worlds, doesn't he? How will we rule on this earth? I think so. As I think about this and I ask that question, what have you thought about what it would be like for you on the job on the first day as a saint reigning and ruling with Jesus Christ? This is food for thought. Think on these things. Is it to meet the high priest of the day, which will be Jesus Christ? Or would it be a day of orientation? Or might it be, let's be about our Father's business? I believe it's safe to say that the plan of God continues its course after the first resurrection. It begins in full force to begin to restore all things anew. Yes, Satan will be bound. He will be put in restraint for 1,000 years. But still the world that is there, that is to come. It is a world that is to come, but it has not passed away yet. It has not passed away yet. It is a time of restoring to a new world, as we refer to as the wonderful world tomorrow. As the Apostle John saw these visions, the book of Revelations, wouldn't it be possible, probable, that his writings stand to be very much a part of the spiritual restoration, the teachings in the world that is to come? Let's consider 1 John 2. If you'll turn with me to 1 John 2. And let's begin in verse 1. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not." I believe that will be very appropriate as we begin to restore the minds and the hearts. As Mr. Armstrong would say, probably one of the first things that needs to be done as a new educational system, to educate man in God's way, based on love and truth. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who will be the King of kings and the Lord of lords." And hereby, and He is the atonement, or the propitiation, the appeasement for our sins. And not for our only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. What is one of the commandments that mankind has trampled over and on for generations? The Sabbath. The weekly Sabbath and God's holy Sabbaths. The high holy days. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And we're going to ask our ancestors. We're going to ask those who live on into the millennium.
I guess not our ancestors. They won't be raised at that time. A lot of them will not. But those who live on and through the millennium, do you know the eternal? And you will see it manifested by them keeping the commandments of God. Verse 4, he that says, I know him, referring to Christ, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. These are some of the things that we will be teaching and instructing. What we have been gleaning and learning from. But whosoever keeps his word, in him truly is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. You see, the love of God is perfected by obedience to the truth and the laws of God. The love of God is perfected. Have we perfected that love of God? We will need to be perfected to reign and to rule with Jesus Christ in the world that is to come. That must be. But these are some of the things that we will be teaching. Brethren, the weekly Sabbath is a sign forever. A sign between God and His people. That has been lost. That has been lost. It is a sign between God and His people. And I'm sure this will be one of the top priorities to put man back on track. It says that you will know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. Speaking of the Sabbath day. And I'm not going to turn to the Scriptures. It says that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you on your Sabbath. Verses 15 through 17 of 1 John 2. Verses 15. As I said, it's still a world without Satan. At that time, it will be a world without Satan, but not without humanity and human nature. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. Referring to this world now, as I said, it will not be perfect in the world that is to come. Changes will take place. They will begin in the restoration of all things. And then it says, and then the world will pass away in the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Will abide forever. That's what we're looking forward to. Abiding with Jesus Christ and all of humanity that will heed to the truth of God. Remember, we will be a holy nation. Kings and priests. Spirit beings. With the ability to instruct from God's Word. You can read the example, the children of Israel. Just a short period of time, I believe a year and a half after they left Egypt, after they departed from Mount Sinai, it wasn't very long after that that they gave Moses a lot of headaches. They brought so many complaints to him. He went to God and he said, I just can't handle all of these burdens. So God said, okay. Go get 70 elders. So he did. And he took from Moses, God took from Moses, some of that spirit and gave to the 70 elders so that all the burden would not fall upon Moses. That the 70 elders, and you can find that in Numbers 11, the book of Numbers, chapter 11. And it says, and God's spirit was multiplied as he took it from Moses and gave it to the 70 elders. And they went, and they prophesied, and they taught, and they did not cease from teaching. Brethren, we will assist Christ. And later on, Moses decided to set up captains of thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens. I'm not sure exactly how God will do it in the world that is to come. He is all wisdom, all power, and all love. He will know how to instruct and guide and to set up His government based on love and the laws of Almighty God. Brethren, it's time now for us to think on these things. We don't know when Christ will return. But we know as the world goes, and as we watch and look over into the Middle East, that's where we are to be watching, because that's where Jerusalem is, that's where God's throne will be set up, the world ruling government by Almighty God. We need to be watching. Again, we don't know exactly when this day will come to pass, when it will be, but we need to be prepared and look for the return of Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to Nehemiah. Mr. Henson's really getting nervous. Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah 8, a very familiar passage. Nehemiah 8, let's begin in verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. That's not in D.C. The water gate was the south rampart of the temple where, if I remember right, the Gibeonites brought the water through that area. So it was a large place, very open area. So this is where they were to meet. And they spoke unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. Here we are, the first day of the seventh month, the Feast of Trumpets. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Drop down to verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all people, for he was above all the people as he stood above them. And when he opened it, all the people stood up to stand in the awe of the truth of God. Verse 6. And Ezra blessed the people. And Ezra blessed the Lord. I'm sorry. And Ezra blessed the Eternal, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen. We don't know if he said an inspiring and uplifting prayer at this time, or just explained and expounded upon God's Word so clearly and so profoundly. They said, Amen, Amen. Let it be done. We agree. With lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Drop down to verse 8. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. This is what I picture. This is what I anticipate. This is what I look forward to as a priest, as a king, teaching and ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ during the 1,000-year period. That as they're brought out of captivity, of all the suffering, and those who have come through the great tribulation, and who can stand before the wrath of God, and to have their minds open to the laws and the precious truth of God. So often we take it for granted, because we have been so blessed for so many years to be a part of something great. We are the servants of God today. We have been taught in more ways than one, have we not? This is our schooling. Can we imagine, can we even grasp what our calling has been for? That high calling. We are a part of something very, very great. Let's close, brethren, with Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. Let's begin in verse 6. For unto us Jesus Christ is born. Unto us a Son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The return of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 7. Of the increase of His government. It's never ending. It will continue to increase as the saints are multiplied throughout a 1,000 year period and beyond. Of the increase of His government and peace, no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal, the burning desire of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Brethren, we are a part of this never-ending, increasing government of God to reign upon this earth. Have a wonderful remaining Feast of Trumpets.